Everybody, good morning. Well, worship team, thank you for leading us all into worship. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Good. I mean, everybody is on about this weather. What are you guys on about? This is a great weather for me. I finally feel like this weather is catching up to my level of heat. I'm not even breaking a sweat. No, I'm only joking. But this has been such a nice temperature, nice weather. And it's so good to see everybody. Some of you I've met last week, a year again. And some new faces who've come back or come visiting us. So we welcome you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you. Thanks, Terry. This is great. I have more room to walk about now. I can go all the way there.
Dance.
Yes, I can also dance. But this is great. Well, some of you will have met my pastor, spiritual father, friend, mentor, whatever you want to call it, last week here. So, you know, if you've been growing tired of me telling that you are a good church, you know what he said to me after preaching here, we go home and have some food. He said, you are a good bunch of people. And I said to Colin, that's what I've been telling them all along. So you have certainly made an impression on him. And some of you guys have also personally had a chat. So he sends his love and regards. So I am very, very grateful that he came and spoke on the Father's Day, where we were able to honor father and mother. Well, I learned some of you have become aunties to our children because they had their birthdays last week, and then every card we opened, auntie this and auntie that. I was like, my goodness, you guys are having new relationships being formed. Well, I'd like to have some aunties because my birthday is next week. So I'll have some ties, socks, you know, sticky toffee pudding. No. We are very, very grateful, guys. So thank you. So let's pray. Lord, we pray this for this morning. Lord, we worshiped this morning, Lord, that so many of these folks have already said that our eyes are fixed on you. You are the author. You are the pioneer. You are the perfecter of our faith. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we leave all our worries and our anxieties at the foot of the cross, and we look to you because you are sat at the right hand of God. Holy Spirit, be with us this morning. And I pray, may you encourage our hearts and speak through me, who is a sinner saved by your grace, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. John chapter 4. I'll give you guys a second while I look for my water. I don't know where I left it. John chapter 4, verse 43 to 54. Okay. It says, after the 2 days, he, being Jesus, departed for Galilee. For Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to see him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The official said to Jesus, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed that the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he had begun to get better. Then they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. What a great portion of scripture this is. Amen? This is the whole, the chapter whole, 4 is a whole continuous thread of faith. You saw earlier where he met Jesus, the woman of Samaria at the well, and he says to her, "Go call your husband." And then after a long spiel of conversation, wow, this guy, Jesus, really knows about me. And you could see in John chapter 4, verse 32 to 42, where it says many Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus. There is the word again, believed. And if you look at 41, and many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves that we believe in Jesus Christ, that we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." If you are taking notes, my title for today is Take Jesus at His Word. Take Jesus at His Word. And my key verse I'm going to be concentrating on, John chapter 4, verse 50, where he says to the nobleman, I'll just say nobleman, "Go, your son will live." The man believed Jesus. In some of the versions it says, the man went on his way and took Jesus at His Word. There was no need of anything else. This nobleman is a nobleman from the Herod Tetrarch. So back in the time when Jesus was, in Jesus' time, Herod Tetrarch was the king. And you will see this in Luke chapter 3, verse 1. But don't confuse, this is a completely different miracle. You may recall this centurion coming and asking Jesus, "Can you heal my servant?" That's a totally different miracle to this nobleman who's coming and asking for his own son. You see, this nobleman had a problem. His son was at the point of death. This nobleman walked, some say 17 miles, some say 25 miles, some say 20 miles. We'll just say for the sake of argument, he walked anywhere between 17 to 25 miles. Phil, you like walking. So how long does it take?
Depends how fast you go.
Okay. Okay, let's just say this nobleman was in a hurry because his son was actually in danger. So he will have walked really fast. And it's not going to take a whole day. I'm saying this because you will see in a minute why I'm saying this. It's not going to take a whole day to walk. And this nobleman coming under Jesus' authority and he's saying, "Sir, heal my son because my son is in danger." And Jesus gives a word. From a distance, with peace, he says, "Go, your son will live." You will see there is a progression of faith in this nobleman's faith. We must admire that man's faith. Honor and titles are no security from sickness and death. Some people think, "Oh, well, we are rich, we have all the money." This nobleman had all the money. He may have had lands. He may have had all the titles that he had said to people. But this guy... had a problem. We all have problems in our lives. We all have situations in our lives. We all have trials in our lives. And you will see from this guy had a crisis faith by coming. He must have heard in Cana, "Wow, Jesus, you have healed water into wine. So let me go see him. He might do something for my own son." It was a little bit of a crisis faith. He wasn't 100% sure by coming to faith. But his faith grew from that crisis faith into a confident faith when he took Jesus at his word. Because Jesus said it, he said, "You know what? I'm going to believe what Jesus had said." I want to ask you this question this morning to you guys. Do you believe Jesus? Do you take Jesus at his word? Or do we doubt it? And then from the confident faith, he goes on to confirmed faith by when Jesus answered his request, "Go, your son will live." And then from that confirmed faith to keep the seas going, he had contagious faith. Not only he was saved, his whole family was saved at the end of that portion of scripture. You see, faith is a gift that grows as we use it. I want to say this again. Faith is a gift that grows as we use it. I want to give a little bit of word about signs and wonders, and then I'm going to go on to something that's important. I want us to hear it today because there was a clear thread that was going from praise into worship to praying, you praying, Liberty brought the word, and to this. By the way, she did not know what's on here. She mentioned a few things, and I do believe the Lord sometimes gives a stirring in our spirit, and He speaks the word to us. Amen. Verse 48, you know, Jesus is rebuking here where He says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You might think this is something that He's saying to the nobleman. No, this is a plural verb where He says to all of the Galileans who are there, He says, is this just a seeing is believing, this sort of pragmatic philosophy of the lost world? And you know what? Sadly, us Christians are exactly the same. Thomas, remember Thomas? This is the whole disciple of Jesus Christ. He said, I want to touch Jesus. I want to feel Him. And you think, wow, I've been preaching to my friend. I've been telling my colleague about Jesus Christ. If Thomas, one of his own Jesus' disciples, couldn't believe, how much more that we have to work on it? You see, this nobleman, like I said, he had a superficial faith. I don't know what your faith level is today. You may have a superficial faith. You may have a surface level faith or an exterior faith, just face level faith, a peripheral. Or you might have a serious, serious faith in Christ. And you say, no matter what happens in my life, that I trust in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and He will take me through. And you can see the scarlet thread of Jesus Christ through the word. He said, you know, He was with Abraham. He was with Isaac. He was with Jacob. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. When Joseph was in the prison, you know what the Bible says? That God was with Joseph in the prison. In the prison. And we think, Lord, I'm in this place. Lord, where are you? I want to tell you this morning, He's with you. Hebrews chapter 13, what does it say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes He allows you to go through these things. I don't want to be one of these preachers say, hey, everything is life is peachy. Come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said in John 16, what did He say? He said, in this life you will have troubles. This is great, isn't it? You came all the way from Liverpool to hear this word. In this life you will have trouble. You see, this guy was seeking for a healing. He wasn't seeking the healer. He was seeking for a sign, but he wasn't seeking the guy, the God who gives the signs. And he was only seeking the giving and not the giver. And you know, I had a text message this morning. I'm going to read this now. I was planning on to read this later, but this is how the modern Christianity comfortable cushionness going on. Look at this. Our Lord will come and help us that will not look at your shortcomings and weakness to arise and help you without looking back in Christ Jesus' mighty name. Almighty God will take over every battle of your life. You will be gloriously decorated with the fruits of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, spiritual exploits, miracles, signs, wonders, promotions, divine health, prosperities, abundance, celebrations, promotions there again, double promotions, I guess. Breakthroughs, sound health, longevity of life, testimonies. You know, when I look at this face value, right? This is what we do. We very easily take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and look into what Jesus gives. And you prayed that prayer. Ben, the guy who was singing, you know, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Whilst this may happen, I do believe, I have faith to believe. Don't think that I don't have faith to believe. I do. But my eyes are not in what Jesus gives, but my eyes are on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we normally take our eyes off. And Lord, I want to do this for me. Please do this for me. It's like God has become this vending machine where you take the coin and you put it, I want C3. I want this. And then D2. I want this. But we don't remember that it is sometimes the Lord. Well, you might ask me, well, why then did Jesus do signs and wonders? Well, let's look at John chapter 20, verse 24 to 31. Actually, let's skip to, sorry, Beatrix, I know you said to me, I'm going to keep you on your toes. Let's go on 29, please. John chapter 20, verse 29. Jesus said to him, this is just when Thomas said to the disciples, well, I want to see Jesus, and Jesus very graciously said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, put out your hand, place it on my side, do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Listen to this, 29, Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. This is Jesus foretelling to all of us. And if you want to know the purpose of why John wrote this whole gospel, the account, here it is. Verse 30 and 31, this is the whole reason why John wrote it. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you, what? May believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you have life in his name. Jesus did all these signs and wonders to authenticate this ministry that he's the Son of God. I do believe signs and wonders that when God does, he heals people. I believe. But what I'm trying to say is we have to get this in our heads that we can easily lose focus from what the giver and the giving. We fix our eyes on Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, what does it say? We walk by faith and not by sight. And even Jesus himself rebuked in 48, verse 48. What did he say here? Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Matthew 16 verse 4, he says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. You know, like I said, our boys had birthdays this week. And imagine if I said to Cedric, Cedric, I've been putting some money in your bank. And Cedric says, oh, that's great. Who wants birthday money? I love the cards that comes with money in it. They're the best cards to open. I love our wedding day. You know, it's like we went back to our hotel room and opened all the cards, and they all had £5 in it, £10 in it. We had to take a break to come back and open it. Anyways, and if I say to Cedric, son, I've been putting some money in it. And he says, thank you, Dad, but can I see the bank account? And I'm thinking, no, I'm telling you that I've been putting money in it. You're not ready for it yet. You will have it one day. But no, I want to see the bank statement. Oh, can you print it out for me? Imagine that, what it would be. See, that's how exactly that we do to our Father. Jesus says, well, I am with you. You know, take my word for it. You know, and we all chase, and some of us chase things that, you know, online. If anybody asks you to pay money for prophecy, don't do it. Because the word of God is not to pay money to receive whatever somebody else says. That's error. Because all that you need is in this Bible. It's in the word of God. Because it's complete, it's all sufficient, inerrant. It can be very deceiving. See, Matthew 24 wants this. 24, verse 23 to 24, it says, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead you astray. If possible, even the elect, even the Christians in Christ. Revelation 13:13, it says, it performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven and to earth in front of people. Well, how else would I know this is legitimate or not? Well, my brothers and my sisters, you have to know what is the true spirit. And how do you find that? It's by you spending time with the word, with the Lord Jesus Christ, through the word. Sometimes we think, okay, through the word, and then we get to know Jesus. No, you come to Jesus and he will give you the illumination and the understanding of this text. And the Holy Spirit will enable you. And that's, you know, it's like husband and wife relationship, mom and son relationship. You know by spending time with each other. Well, what is faith? What is faith? Let's look at that, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is the biblical definition of what is faith. In Greek, it's called pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. What is it? Look, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. You have not seen it yet, but you have faith. That is faith. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question. Do you know when the Israelites sent the spies to spy out the land? They sent 12, by the way. Of course, it's one for each tribe. How many do we remember? Can you just name them? One for me. One or two? Joshua and Caleb. Anybody else? No. Why is that? Because they're faithless people. You see, your name and the men who've gone before who are faithful, their names will be remembered until they go to the glory and see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We only remember Joshua and Caleb because they came back full of faith. And the other 10, we don't even know who they are. They're gone and dead and gone. And we still remember Joshua and Caleb. And Oxford Dictionary, this is the secular Oxford Dictionary says, look at this. The faith is defined as complete trust or confidence, firm belief without logical or concrete proof. I'll say this again. It's a firm belief without logical or concrete proof. You don't know how this, you know, is going to happen, but you have a logical and a concrete proof. J.C. Ryle, this is a SG Generation preacher, he says, it is an act by which you lay hold on what God prescribes and abandoning all self-interest and self-reliance, trusting God completely. You know, Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, look at this. It is do you want to please God? Who wants to please God here? Yes, most of you, right? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You need to know, this is the answer in right here. Where is it? Where are you? 11, verse 6. Okay, did I not give you the scripture, Beatrix? Okay, that's good. I'll read it to you. Without faith, it is impossible. Do we hear this? Without faith, it is impossible to please Christ. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. My goodness, Lord, we may need revelation on this. You know, we live in a very doubtful generation. Everything is doubt. Doubts see the obstacles, but faith sees the way. It's like me and my wife to a T here. Doubt see the darkness night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubts questions. Who believes? Faith answers. I do. And that's sometimes we need somebody like that right next to us when we feel down. We need somebody to encourage you. You know what? Do not give hope. The Christ is with you. Romans 8:28, what does it say? For all things will work together for those who love his name. If you love your name, if you love Christ's name, everything will work out. I'm telling you this morning, it will work out. We may go through trials, we may go through struggles, we may go through trials and temptations, but you know what? Your washing machine is going to break down. Your car is going to break down. What else is there, earthly? Anything else that your cooker is not going to work. But you know what? We rejoice. How do I say that? Because that's what James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4 says. Listen to this. Did I give you that scripture, Beatrix? James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4. The testings of faith. Listen to this. Count it all joy. Count it all joy, brothers and sisters. When you meet trials of many, many kinds. My goodness, this is great sermon, this is. Huh. The trials here, the Greek is the testings, the trials, and the temptations of various kinds. Jesus knows what you're going through. Holy Spirit knows what you're going through in your life. And I don't want to be one of those guys to say, oh, everything is okay, just come to Christ. No, sometimes the Lord allows us to go through. And I go to my prayer closet and I say, Lord, I can't see a way. I need help. I need you to do this. You need to do that. But sometimes, I think personally for me, a revelation here. Hey, let's keep that scripture on. I'm going to be a little vulnerable here. Lamentations 3, verse 3. Here, look, I'm praying, Lord, I'm going through, you know, trials and hardships and temptations and all of this. Look at this. Lamentations 3, verse 27 to 30. It says, it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Do you hear that? I'm still young. I know I'm going 1 year older next week, but it is good. This is what the Bible says. It is good. Why? Because my faith is tested and I'm growing in Christ. Thank you, Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Who laid on him? It's God. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to one who strikes and let him be filled with insults. Wow, let's carry on reading that. You know, I say this because sometimes the Lord allows us to go through. And why does he allow you to go through? Let's keep reading that scripture. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. That's a Greek word, is perseverance, endurance. And the let steadfastness, the persevering spirit, the enduring of affliction, a patient frame of mind, knowing that Christ has got it all, like the nobleman. Jesus said, go home, your son will live. And he went home having the patient frame of mind. And his faith is growing day by day, having its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. My good people, you're in one of these three categories here this morning. You may be going through afflictions. You may be. We all are. There is something going on in all our lives. Or you may have just come out of it. That's great. Glory to God. But you're going to go right back into it. Because the Lord teaches you. And you can see the pattern in the Bible all the way through. No one goes through life without testing. You know, I like watching this TV program. Some of you may have watched it. And this is a good program, guys. Husband and wife, you both love it. It's a nice program. It's called Forged in Fire. No, it's not for wives. It's a program for guys who are blacksmiths, right? You've seen it. Yeah, weaponry. Well, it's weaponry. The reason I'm watching it, because they choose random blacksmith around the U.S. and they give 4 days to build a weapon. And they go back home and they build the weapon that the judges want them to build. It could be from any century. And they will spend 4 days forging it, put extreme temperature, they will quench it, they will engrave it, make the metal bend. What really spoke to me was when the fire was like completely hot, they were forging it, and they were able to bend that really stubborn metal into the shape that which they wanted it to. That's our faith. When we are going through fiery ordeals in our life, fiery trials, that the Lord is able to bend our stubborn will to His will. That we go through different various situations. Afflictions are one of God's medicines. We got to remember that. He will not let us go through life without Him being there right with us. Here is a guy, older guy, a great preacher in the yesterday generation, William Temple. Look at this. Some of us have health issues. Look at what he's saying. Health is a great blessing. Hallelujah. Who doesn't want to have good health? But sanctified disease is even greater. When I read that, wow, this earthly body, one day it's going to grow old. It's going to have issues. I'm going to have problems with my knees because we do all these things. But our life here is so so small compared to the eternity that we're going to have with Jesus Christ. When we go through troubles, we complain. We say, Lord, take me out of it. But the Lord says, I've allowed you to go through because your faith is being tested. Your faith is being molded to my will. Like Jesus said in John 63, in this life, you will have trouble. But what did he say after that? But take heart. But take heart, my brothers and sisters. Take heart. Christ is with you. Prosperity and worldly comfort are what all naturally desire. Isn't that what we desire? We want to have that. But losses and crosses are for better for us if they lead us to Christ. This is John Wesley. We sang that song, Spafford guy. John Puff? Huh?
It is well.
It is well. Thank you. It is well. That guy, go read this text message that I read to him. My goodness, did you know he lost his four of his daughters in the middle of the Atlantic? And his wife sends a telegram home and says, all our four daughters have dead, but it is well. And he, as he went, goes to see his wife to console her, he reads from Isaiah 66, when peace like a river. He spends that song in the 19th century sometime, and we're still singing it. And we often think, Lord, why are we going through? I want to encourage you with one more scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. If you're going through suffering in your life as a Christian, be encouraged because Christ is with you. 1 Peter 4, verse 12 to 13. Look at what it says here. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial. I'll read it. At the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. When you're going through trials and temptation, you're suffering, it's not strange. But rejoice. This is what I'm saying this morning. What James is saying this morning. What Peter is saying this morning. What Jesus has said. But rejoice. In so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. We have to have an attitude like David. You know, we all know David is a man after God's own heart. Do you know what he said in Psalm 119:71? He says, it is good for me that I'm afflicted. It is good for me that I'm afflicted. You know why? I pray this prayer for myself because it keeps me on the straight and the narrow path of Jesus Christ. The moment I think, okay, life is peachy, I would not be hot for the Lord. We need to be hot for the Lord. You know where there's coal? Where all the coals are hot together. And that's how revivals come in our nations. Where there's group of coal, with old grandmas and grandpas and faith-filled people who have gone and walked before us, the generations before have gone and prayed, Christ, visit our land. Where is that fire these days? We're wimpy Christians. Something, a tire got punched, Lord, enemy is having a go at me. It's just a fire, it's just a life, that's just life. But let us learn our perseverance. Endurance, our faith is tested like the metal that he is engraving like the forged in fire, that we're able to come out the way that God wants us to be. Because we admire, we go armor, we go admire, wow, look at that weapon. This is great, engravings on it. But do you know how much forging and quenching and the things that it has to go through? And you will come out. I remember giving this scripture to you, Beatrix. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 40, while I drink some water. I'm having a good old pulpit sweat, like Whitfield might say. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 to 40. Listen to this. Well, Hebrews chapter 11 is a chapter for faith. And I encourage you guys, go home. Take time to read it. By faith, by faith. By faith, it says, by faith Abraham, by faith Abel, by faith Noah, by faith Isaac, by faith Joseph, David. Look at this. I love this. Seriously, this is great. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured. My goodness. Some were tortured for Christ, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again a better life. My goodness, that is amazing. That guy or girl who has faith for Christ that I'm refusing to release because I want Christ to resurrect me on that day. Because people like them have their eyes on Christ, not on the earthly. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Whew. Do you want to be sawn in two for your faith? Whew. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted. There is the word again, afflicted. Mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, listen to this. What does it say? They did not receive what was promised. They did not receive it. Abraham said, well, God said, I will bring your people into the land. Did he get to see it? But did he believe it? Yeah, he did. See, that is what faith is about. Whether we see it or not, whether we have it or not, we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what I want to commend all of you who said this. Hebrews chapter 12, let's carry on. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight. Every weight here is our easy distractions of our lives. Our things that easily take us off course. And let us, look, and let us run with what? With endurance, the same word again that James said, that Peter said. It's the same Greek word. The author of Hebrews saying exactly the same thing. The race that is set before us. That we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and we run. And say nothing but Christ. Whether we are sown in two or not, we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. What did I say? We walk by faith, not by sight. What kind of faith do we have this morning? Do we have a lack of faith? Do we have a weak faith? Do we have a strong faith? Ah, Lord. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. No unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. And Apostle Paul makes a whole case study of how Abraham, through faith, coming to Jesus, how God had blessed him, even without seeing what's going to happen. We are on a journey where, like John Bunyan said in that famous novel, the allegory illustration, we are all pilgrims upon earth. So don't get used to it. Do not get used to the comforts of this life. Whether I have a good car or not, it's not for me to be happy or sad about. Because one day when I go and be with heaven, I know the Lord has got my lot. And I encourage you this morning, do not be disheartened. Do not lose heart. Christ is with you. Take heart. When you go through the trials of many kind, it produces perseverance, endurance. It gives you a persevering spirit. And just like the nobleman came to Christ with the crisis of faith, but he went home with the faith that was very encouraging, and the whole family got saved. So, application, my last point. And then we finish for today. How do we grow in our faith? Well, we hear the word of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of the Lord. I encourage you guys. I found this somewhere lying on the floor. You know, these little things are like throughout the Bible in 1 year. These are little pamphlets. The church, we can get it. Maybe Dr. Walters can sort some from Good News for Everybody. You know this. Now, I want to encourage you guys because these have a discipline of reading the word. If you can't read because of whatever reasons, but if you're in a journey, listen to the Bible as you go in the car. You know, these are practical things, application things. But that's how you believe. That's how you increase your faith, grow in faith. That's one, hearing the word of God. Number two, you know, so that's a good old saying that says, you can only lead the horse to the water hole, but you can't make it drink. You have to believe it. You have to believe and take Jesus at his word like the nobleman did. Romans chapter 4, 14, verse 23. Is this one thing I want us to go back with? Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says here, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. But this is the scripture I want you to remember. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. I'll read that again. For whatever does not proceed from faith is what? Is sin. My good people, let us be faith-filled people. That our anchor is held in Jesus. I think the song again we sang this morning, my anchor holds within the veil. That no matter what trials and temptations are going to toss me to and fro, my eyes are on Christ. And we obey. Third thing is obey. First one is hear, believe, and obey. Real faith is belief with legs on it. Let us not be double-minded people. Let us take Jesus at his word. Faith is taking God at his word. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, knows the unknowable, and receives the impossible. All in due time, because we are in Christ's time. We cannot hurry the process. You have to go through it. You have to, because that's how the Lord works in our life. He said to the people of Israelite, I cannot take all the people, the Hivites and the Hittites, because I want to teach you how to fight. And that's how he left everybody in stages. And we are, as we are going, as we are pilgrimaging in our life, to go to the heavenlies to see Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to have troubles. We will all have sufferings. We all have to go through it. But scriptures teaches us that our testings of our faith is for our own good. It is for us to keep planted in Christ, rooted in Christ. My anchor holds within the veil. And we keep our eyes on Jesus, the gaze, the steady gaze that Colin talked about last week. We keep the fix your eyes on Jesus. In Greek, it really is your steady gaze. You look upon Christ, and as you go to pray, Lord, I have all these problems, but I look to you because you are the author and the perfecter of my faith. Let's bow down in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Father, I pray some of us may be here this morning like the nobleman who came with a crisis faith, that we don't know what tomorrow is going to become. We don't know what the future is going to be, but we trust in you, Father. We give our situations in you, like King Hezekiah laid down the letter before you and said, Lord, I can't do this. And some of us may be like that here. We cannot do it. But Christ, we trust in you. We believe in you. We appreciate and we thank you for testing our faith so our faith may grow and be more planted in Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord.